It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. You probably know writer J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series. After Rowling finished 7 books about the boy wizard, she set off on a new literary path, mysteries for adult readers. Under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith, Rowling's just released her 2nd mystery novel. It's called The Silkworm. When it comes to mysteries, there is no greater arbiter of excellence than the librarian of the airwaves, Nancy Pearl. She's just back from a British walking tour.
We walked from the source of the Thames in a small town called Kemble, where the Thames is not really, all that's there is a pile of stones. The Thames is underground.
Oh my gosh.
And then we followed it all the way downstream to Windsor. So it was about 125 miles, about 10 days, not about 10 days, 10 days of walking.
Wow.
And to see the river just get bigger and bigger and bigger everywhere, you know, day by day by day till, you know, we walked through Henley where they have the regatta and you see the rowing coaches bicycling up and down the towpath next to the Thames, screaming at the rowers in the mornings. It was a fabulous trip.
It's also not just the source of the Thames, but I always think of it as the source of so many great English mystery novels.
Right. Peter Robinson's mysteries, you know, the person is always killed walking home on one of the paths from the pub.
And right.
In fact, on the plane ride home, I was reading a mystery by Peter Robinson. His detective is Alan Banks. And he had been in all the places that we had been. We had a quick day and a half in London and spent most of it in the East End, a lot of it on Brick Lane and Spitalfields. And oh, my gosh.
Well, among, I guess the she's not really an aspiring mystery writer anymore, is J.K. Rowling, who writes these mysteries under the moniker Robert Galbraith. And this book, The Silkworm, which just came out, is the second. The first one was called The Cuckoo's Calling.
Right.
And I'm just going to cut to the chase. Are either of them any good?
I'm glad you asked. Yes. I have to say, I read The Cuckoo's Calling before anybody knew that Robert Galbraith was a pseudonym for J.K. Rowling. And it was a good mystery. It wasn't the kind of mystery you clutch to your bosom and say, oh, this is the best book I've read in decades. But for the genre, it was quite good. And I had no idea who it was. Nor did I care. There are people who say, oh, they recognize certain stylistic tics in that first book and suspected it was J.K. Rowling. That wasn't me. I just read it because I liked the main character, and it was a good mystery. The second one, which she is still publishing under Robert Galbraith, everybody knows it's her book, is quite good.
And it's the same detective,
right? It is the same detective. She's come up with a very interesting detective, Cormoran Strike, who is the bastard son of a rock star, British rock star. I'm thinking like a Mick Jagger-like character, who fought in Afghanistan and lost a leg there. So he is making his way around London with a prosthetic leg. So you get a little bit of that. But he sets up his private detective agency, and in the first book hires a young woman, Robin Ellicott, and their relationship develops over the course of the books. Of course, she's engaged to somebody who is quite happy to be engaged to her as long as she does what he thinks should be best. So, you know, that kind of relationship those relationships are people who like character-driven mysteries. This is a good mystery. Plus, the second mystery, The Silkworm, is set in the world of British publishing.
About which I would imagine J.K. Rowling knows quite a bit.
Yes, exactly. And the victim in this book has been writing a book that is in very graphic, gross, disgusting terms, eviscerating all of his former friends and publishers.
Ooh.
And agent. And then he's found killed exactly as a murder is described in his book.
I'm so interested that she continues to use this pseudonym. A New York Times reviewer said this weekend that it was impossible to separate a critique of the book from the author in this particular case. Do you agree?
I didn't see that quote. No, I don't agree. I think it's vital that we make every attempt to do that. I don't see the point of her publishing again under Robert Galbraith. But I know, I can imagine what pressure she's under as J.K. Rowling, and what a relief it was for her to write that first book and not have anybody know it was her. Everything changes once you know it's her. You're going to get, you know, big full-page ads in the sure. magazines. You're going to get reviews in every single place. And it's interesting just what a name can do. Interesting, and the implications, I think, are sad in many ways.
The book is called Silkworm, but if you haven't, like I haven't read the first one, I think I have to start with The Cuckoo's Calling and then proceed to Silkworm.
Yeah, I this is certainly self-contained, but I think for people who, not necessarily completists, but for people who are interested in watching a character grow, and seeing as time passes for that character, that beginning with The Cuckoo's Calling would be a good idea.
Before I leave the world of mysteries for something else that you've brought in, one of our producers, the lovely and talented Arwen Nix, says that she wishes she could be lured into the world of mystery reading. And would I ask you about a gateway, so like the gateway
drug. The gateway drug.
What's the gateway book for her?
For somebody like that who wants to kind of get into the world of mysteries, but it doesn't necessarily appreciate or is interested in plot-driven stuff, I would not go to the Agatha Christie's and I adore Agatha Christie, but that's not what Arwen is talking about. So the one I might begin with is Tana French's In the Woods, because what you have there is a very, very, very character-driven mystery where you are almost more concerned with the fate of the characters than you are with how the mystery is going to turn out.
On a totally different reader platform, you've brought in the first of a series that's been re-released for young readers.
Yes.
Younger readers.
Younger readers. And I'm thinking this is going to be really for maybe fourth graders and up. It's by John Christopher, a very, very well-known British writer. And in the 70s or 80s, he brought out what became a quartet called the Tripods. Well, it was called, when I knew it, the Tripods Trilogy. Now that there's a fourth novel.
Oh.
But it is, I'm so happy Simon & Schuster reissued this because it's perfect for what kids are reading now. It's a dystopian novel. The main characters are these young boys who are the ones who have to challenge the overlords, who are the Tripods. The first one is called The White Mountains. Such a great, great, great book. They've been reissued both in hardback and in paperback. You know, nice, solid books.
Good, and a good size.
In a good size, so you're not going to lose it in your backpack. And they're just, I found them when I first read them, and I found them again when I was rereading them because I was so excited about them, that they definitely hold up. They're definitely modern. And these characters, these boys, are really nice kids, and they have to make hard decisions. And I respect them for that.
Nancy Pearl is the one and only librarian of the KUOW airwaves. She recommended, in reverse order, John Christopher's Tripods Quartet for young readers. Nancy also suggests, if you're waiting to start down that mystery novel path, check out Tana French's In the Woods, which is Nancy's idea of a gateway mystery novel. And she recommends J.K. Rowling's new mystery, The Silkworm, published under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith.